I just want to thank God for this opportunity that it's given to me to share with you this afternoon. It's a blessing for me to stand before you, all of you, and my prayer is that God may use me today to at least to impart something into your lives through what I'm going to share with you. But before I share this, I have this song. I feel like singing this song before I go ahead and share with you. I know you know the song, but I would like you to join me as we're singing. Wabera wamanyi, wabera wamanyi, tuse wabera wamanyi, oh wabera wamanyi, tuse wabera wamanyi.
Tu se wabera wa mafuta, wabera wa mafuta. Tu se wabera wo kuona, oh wabera wo kuona. Tu se wabera wo kuona, oh wabera wo kuona. Tu se jangu sebo. Sebo jangu tata, tukweta ga jangu sebo. Sebo jangu tata, tukweta ga jangu sebo. Sebo jangu tata, tukweta ga wabera wa magezi. Wabera wa magezi, tu se wabera wa magezi. Magazine, tu se wabera wa magazine, oh wabera wa magazine, tu se wabera wa manyi, wabera wa manyi, tu se wabera wa manyi, oh wabera wa manyi, tu se wabera wa manyi, wabera wa manyi. Sebo jangu tata, tukweta ga jangu sebo. Wabera wamanyi, tuse wabera wamanyi. Wabera wamanyi.
Amen, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be in fellowship, and to thank you for the opportunity given to me to share your word. I just pray that, Lord, you enlighten the scripture very clearly for me and even my brothers and my sisters as they hear from your word. I just pray that, Lord, the scriptures will be speaking into our lives. Lord, I'm not here just to speak to my my brothers and sisters, but I'm here also to learn. So, Lord, I just pray that you teach us, you teach all of us your word. And Lord, tonight we, as we are sharing your word, I just pray that, Lord, your word will be the root of each and everything. Father, I just want to thank you. I want to bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I have a topic on a very big subject that I've been part of the subject that I'm going to share. And I've been before I come to understand the message of the kingdom, this was my life, and this is I was part of the subject that I'm going to share. I'm sorry that I'm going to speak against something that I've been in something like some good years, more than 10 years, but I'm going to, a little bit to fight on it. Because I can say, because I have now seen the truth, I've now known the truth, it would be better for me to now to turn around and not look at that subject which I'm going to share with you anymore. I'm going to talk about the church. And this is something that I've, the entire of my life I've been part of the church, whether Catholic church, even when I converted to Christianity, I was part of the church. But I didn't know what is really mean a church, what is the church. Not, until, you know, I can say God brought my brother Charlton onto my life, and he shared with me the gospel and the message of the kingdom. And in going to the depth of studying the word, reading the Bible, I came to know what is a church. I know you may have some good ideas, praise the Lord for that, but also God has given me, as God has revealed to me, some good ideas about the church. And I will start with the question, what is the church? When I was reading the Marvelous Kingdom, this guy really brought a very wonderful, wonderful meaning of a church, I can admit. And I can vote on that 100%. The church is, what he says, he said that the church is a cooperative fellowship of those who have received the kingdom. That's what he says. And I would say, this is what I've been knowing, you know, addition to what my brothers shared in the Marvelous Kingdom, is the church is the body of brothers who are gathered in fellowship. I think it's not much difference, but, you know, I can bet on his idea is 100% true after I went on studying and reading much more about the church. And when you see a church can be also, many times we are mistaken in the church, and this is, as I said, I've been part of the church, and I've been misunderstanding what the church is. Before I knew, the church is a structure of a building, and that is a church. From my childhood, even when I converted to Christianity, I knew a church is a building where we gather and, you know, stay in. And so I never looked at the church as the body of believers who are gathered together for the fellowship. I never looked at that. You know, when I was studying the Marvelous Kingdom, you know, when this guy was starting to talk about the church, one thing I found there is that you cannot separate these two things, the kingdom and the church. The way he wrote and the way he put those notes down, you find that it's very difficult to separate the two. These are walking along with each other, but one is greater than the other. And many times we mistaken the church to be the larger has ever been, the larger than the kingdom. But when you study well, you find that the kingdom is something that is very large. That the church is within the kingdom, not the kingdom within the church. If it is a house, if it's a kingdom, if the church is the house, there's no way we can get this entire kingdom and fit it in. But we can get the entire kingdom and fit the church in. Because why? Because we are the church, you and me, who are gathered here, who are gathered in this fellowship. We are the church that God has called. Jesus tells Peter, on your name I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He didn't mention a certain structure which was in whatever place there was. He mentioned someone who was Peter. And then many times I've been watching my life, seeing people mentioning St. Peter, St. John, St. Jude, St. Matthew. You can mention all the saints. The saints, they really did a mighty, wonderful work on holding on the truth, and also at least to set the patterns for us. But now it has turned that the Saint Paul is taking the glory from God. Now people are looking at the Saint Paul structure. People are not looking at God. Here in Uganda, we have buildings. We have Namirembe Cathedral. We have Namgong Cathedral. We have two cathedrals in Namgong. And now people are looking at the cathedral. And everyone thinks, once I enter into cathedral, I'm a Christian. That is it. It's not the body of believers. But now, this is what I understand a church is. The body of believers who are gathered together for fellowship. Whether under a tree, whether under a shed, whether in the house, it doesn't matter so long as we've gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 18, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So it's all about gathering in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for fellowship. And that is the church. Whether you are two, whether you and your children, that makes a church. And this is what now, I can say the theologians or the reformers, which they turned and said, no, we cannot do so. For us here in Uganda, what is considered as a church by the government is a structure. And it's okay, that church is called so and so, and that is a church. But now, biblically, when you look at it, it's not all about the building. It's the people who are gathered for fellowship. That's a church. And now, I believe my brothers outside there, they cannot buy my message, you know, because they'll be like, so you are against a building. The reason why I'm against them that we've been so much building a structure than building the body of Jesus Christ. People would love to invest money raising building than investing what they have for the body of Christ, for reaching out the body of God. And that is mistakening the church. I believe the reformers, whom I may not be able to mention, but those who brought the reformers from the Catholicism or Protestantism, whatever denomination would have appeared on earth, these are people who kind of rinsed the scriptures and came out with their own ideas. And so, okay, now let's look at this. When we see Jesus' life, he turned tables in the temple. You know why? Because people had put focus on the structure, and then the things now became worse, what they're doing. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not after this. And even when he talked about putting this temple down, and then in 3 days I'll be able to construct this building, they didn't understand what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about the structure. He's talking about the church, which is the body of God, the body of Christ, the body of believers. And now, in this, the reason why I'm saying I'm against what I've been before, when I was still young, I was part of the Catholic Church, so I believed in St. Paul, St. this and St. this. And it has never been all about God, that the church, which is me looking at, it's the St. Paul, the church. Once I enter in this cathedral of St. Paul, now I'm a Christian. And now you look at that, life is really, really terrible. Because it means if I'm not in the cathedral of St. Paul, then I'm not a Christian. But a church means everywhere you are, whether at your home, whether under shed, so long as you are gathering for a fellowship, that is a church. That is the church that God is looking at. Now, the church, God has given us laws to pray. God has called us for something. He has called us to demonstrate a kingdom here on earth. The kingdom cannot be revealed if the church does not come out and act a kingdom life. The kingdom cannot be seen. As the Bible says, no one can say the kingdom is here. It's here. No one can tell. But through the church, we who are the body of believer, who are gathered in the fellowship, the fruits that comes from us, it shows whether it is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world, which is led by Satan. And so, from my notes which I made, I got a point which is the church is being called to commit themselves to live out together the kingdom life now and in the world, and now and in this world. when I was reading The Marvelous Kingdom, that book really helped me so much. This guy is like, now the church, we are supposed to commit ourselves to live a kingdom life. Right now, we don't need to wait. Because no one is going to tell us the kingdom is there. So you go and say there, no one. Now we need to act right now. We need to commit ourselves to the kingdom life, living it out. That is the role of the church. That is the call of the church. We are called to shine the kingdom out. Because the kingdom is going to be revealed through us. Through the church. So the church, God has given them a very, very hard work to, in order God to reveal his kingdom on earth. And as I said in the beginning, the kingdom is something that is very big. That's why I say the church is in the kingdom, but now the church has to act out of the kingdom and the people will be able to see. It's like if they close you within here in this house and no one sees you outside, no one will know that you are there. Unless you go out, maybe unless if you peep out of the window, you open the, and then you put your head out, then people say, okay, someone is in that house. And that's the law of the church, is for us to bring it out, peep it out, and then start shining the kingdom life, so that people will know that these people are really kingdom Christians. These people are really seeking the kingdom of God. I would love us to open Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Yes, as I was saying, it is the church to reveal the kingdom. This was Jesus' prayer. He's telling us his kingdom come as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. How is it going to be revealed to the people? How is it going to be on earth if the church does not come out? If the church does not commit themselves to live a life of a kingdom? We live a life of the kingdom, then this scripture, this verse is fulfilled. And so this scripture is still waiting until people comes out and live a kingdom life and commit themselves to the kingdom life. That's when the scripture will be revealed. In verses 9 says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 say, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it going to be revealed? Through the church. It's the church to shine it out. You and me who are seated here. Who you who are seeking the kingdom. That's how the kingdom is going to, the kingdom of God is going to be revealed. And the church has to play that role. The church is called to do so. And so, it didn't say the building are called to do so. Because you build it and then you paint it and then you put this, maybe you put some statues. That's not the kingdom. That's a building that can be destroyed today or tomorrow. And it's gone. But God's kingdom will stay forever. And God has called the church to live forever and ever. Because his kingdom lives forever and ever. And another point which I looked at was the church must separate themselves from the world. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. Here Roman Paul is encouraging the believers to make sure they allow their minds to be transformed from the things of the world. And I'm in agreement with this, because if we are going to live a kingdom life, then we need to separate ourselves from the world. We don't need to let the world spoil us. We don't need the world to spoil what the good things that God has put in our hearts, or the good life that God has called us to live. We have been called to live a higher standard of living than the world. And that's the church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It says, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the body of believers who are seated, who are together for fellowship, this is the church. And this church is considered as a sacrifice. In everything you do, you sacrifice yourself for the glory of God, for the glory of the King in His kingdom. Verses 2 say, my point, he said, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good, accepted, perfect will of God. Here Paul is calling the church to allow their minds to be transformed. Before, you didn't know about God. Now that you know, you need to let your mind to be transformed. You don't now need to live like the world. You need to accept the separation. Once you receive Him, once you take Him to be your King, once you take Him to be your master that you want to be subjected to, you need to let your mind to be transformed. Leaving all the bad things behind and then go forward. And another point, we can also read Romans chapter 8, verses 35, can also help us. It says that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine or darkness, or imperils or sword? It keeps on mentioning what will separate us. Nothing. So long as we have allowed our minds to be transformed into a kingdom setting, into the kingdom of God, once the church allows this and let the Holy Spirit lead us as a body of believers, and when we don't look at what the world has. Right now, when you go outside Kampala and you ask around the churches, you'd find that churches want to have structures like the business houses or business structures. Because the other, those guys that have painted their business with the color red, so we need to get orange and put on ours. Competition in the church with the world. We are not supposed to engage in war with them. No. Our battles are not of that kind. That's not how we fight as Christians. So here Paul is encouraging the Roman church, or is telling the Roman church, who can separate us from the love of Christ? We've been now on this side. His love is enough as a church. We don't need anything like buildings and what and what. We just need to build one another in love, in spirit, in one mind, with one God. And that is the church. And this is where the problem always comes when we see church splitting. This one goes there, this one goes. You know why? Because no one understands the concept of a church. No one's accepting the changes, the transformation of mind. There's one pastor who bought a land and then put the church, and then later on, you know, that pastor sold the land plus the building. And all of us who saw that were so terribly disturbed in mind. In fact, we were so annoyed. Why could this guy sell the church of God? We didn't even look at the church, which is the people who are going to be misplaced. We don't know where. So we split. Everyone went to his own direction. That's how the church split. Not the building which was sold, not even the land, but the people who split. But the people who split. So here, the Bible says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Not even struggle. Not even persecution. Not even distress. Nothing. So long as we understand the concept of the church, that it's not all about the things we see in the world. It's not all about the popularity or the beauty. It's all about the brethren in fellowship. It's all about us being together, working together as a church, as a body of believer. Another point is, the church is called to live a life that is worthy of the calling in the kingdom. We have been called to that higher level, to live a life that is worthy of the calling. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. Again, Paul is encouraging the Ephesian church. that you know what, you need to look, consider your life as something that is precious, because God has called you to live a life that is a different life than the world live, than any other person live. And so in this, you need to consider what you do, what you say, what your mind reads. So it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which is you are called. We have been called to live a life that is worthy of the calling. That's how we need to walk in our life. Because we've been called to that level. None of us fit that, to be in that position. But God has called us to be there. God has put us in that position. And now we need to utilize that opportunity and shine the kingdom life there. In that position that He has put us. He didn't put us to brag around, but He put us there so that His kingdom will be revealed to the world. So that the world will come to know this is the kingdom of God. And this is how a kingdom Christian has to live his life. Another point was, the church is called to share with others the message of the kingdom. And then I listed some keys of the kingdom or some points down. Or under that point is that we've been called to live a priestly life. We've been called to live like priests, people who are blameless. We've called to that level. We've called to stand in a position that the kingdom will be proud of us. And if we go to 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 says, if you're there, coming to Him as a living stone rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as a living stone, are being built up on the spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we have been put in that position of a priesthood. And now the church has to shine this. The world need to look at the church as something that is important and different from the world, which is now the opposite. We see the same thing when the church is having here some music booming, and then the club will also put their name booming, then there's competition. Now, there's no between the church and the disco or the club. There's no difference. They're all doing the same thing. Now, if you stay, where's the church? Those people that have music, you have music booming and the other one is booming, there's no difference. Now, we need to put a difference. We've been called to live a priestly life, a life that is worthy of the calling. God has called us to live a higher life in this world. Why? So that the world will know, the world will come to understand what is the kingdom of God. God has put us in the position of being able to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. How are we going to give, how are we going to sacrifice in spiritually if we don't consider ourselves as people who have been separated from the world? How? There's no way. Another point was, live an obedient life in the kingdom. First Peter, we're still there, chapter 1, verses 14. It says in verses 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to a former lust, as in your ignorance. Before you didn't know, but now you know. Because you have been called an obedient life. Before I could do whatever I want. I don't care what the pastor preaches or what I read. I do what I feel. It's no longer that way. I only do what the word of God tells me to do. I only obey what it says in the scriptures. It's no longer my ideas. I just need to be in that obedient life. Walking an obedient life daily, without questioning, without giving reason. That's what Jesus said. If anyone wants to be to inherit the kingdom of God, has to be like these young children, the little ones. If the little ones don't to stand, they will stand. They have no option because mama said, daddy said. Even us, when the command comes from the king, which command is going to come through the Bible, we just need to say, yes, sir. I always like the army guys. I don't want to be in army, and I will never be in army because for some good reasons that I have, those guys, one time I went to one of these guys, they go for their training, and these guys are on foreign, and this guy is shooting, and once he makes noise, you need to fall down flat. If you lift your head, you are shoot. Whether you've fallen on the thorn, you have to be there. Because once you lift, you're gone. That's how obedience has to be. It doesn't matter whether we are persecuted or what, we are still in the hands of the love of Christ. And the church, people now know the war, the army guys, and so, you know, those guys are so, they're wholehearted, they have a strong heart. You know why? Because of what they do, because of what they display out, because of what we see they are doing. And now the church has to stand. The church has to play its roles. The church has to stand in its own position, not allowing the world to be mixed in the church. Another point which I got was living a righteous life in the kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22. I pointed out these verses just here. I have many information which I had done on this topic because we are coming up with some tracks of. I was given opportunity of coming up with a track about the church, but this is the little one that we can point out. But there are many verses which I'm also not going to put on the track. But at least these verses, they pull out the life of a church. How does it supposed to be? He yet has not mentioned about big buildings and what we'll be able to see later. Where did these guys go for prayers? Like the disciples, the early church, the disciples who were there after the disciples of Jesus Christ are gone. We'll see those guys. That's why personally I came with an idea of say, I don't care where you are, whether in the house, under the tree, on the shed, anywhere you are, so long as you gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as a king in fellowship, that is a church. Meaning that if Jesus is to appear at that moment, those who are under the tree will be gone. That will be a church. That will be with the Lord. A church without a stain or a spot. It didn't say a building without a spot or a stain. In 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2, did I mention 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 say, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. And so the church is called to righteousness. The church is, here Paul is like, before you didn't know anything. You are still youth. You could love to want to do your life the way you want to do it, but it's no longer. Now you're part of the church. You get to leave whatever you think about behind. And then pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Not to pretend. A pure heart. In whatever we are doing, we do it from the bottom of our heart. We don't pretend to do things. We don't pretend to make it. Our goal is to do it. Our goal is to do it in love, in faith, and in peace. So that the kingdom of God will be revealed to the world. And the church has to be in that position to play a role of that position. One thing I've learned is that anything that the church does, the blame goes to the kingdom. So if the church does something wrong, people say, because he's from that kingdom. We have a problem in Uganda. When a Christian does something, the article on the newspaper in big letters, in fact, color, would be a pastor did this and this. They will not say a Christian or someone from there. They just say a pastor did this and this. So the name of Jesus Christ is, you know, has been spoiled. So anyone who comes to buy paper like a pastor did this, when this person is not a pastor. So anything that is done by the church, if the church is not doing things purely from the bottom of our heart, we don't do things in righteousness, in faith, and in love, and in peace, the kingdom is damaged. And so, as a church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've been called to live a righteous life, a life without a blemish, whereby no one will have a chance to blame us. And that is going to take a lot. That is a big task for us to take. That is something that is persecution is going to be shown, disappointment, discouragement. But nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No matter what comes, because we want the kingdom to shine for the world. Another point is, live a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 speaks of how we've been called to live a holy life because the one whom we have is holy. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It's written. It's God say, now that you're part of me, you need to be holy because I am holy. You need to live a holy life. You need to live as a respected life. You need to live a life of a higher standard so that people will be able to address the kingdom of God. But if you live anyhow, if the church decide to live anyhow, if the church live to cop up what the world has, there's no way we'll be say we are holy before God. There's no way. So the church is called to live a holy life because God is holy, because the king is holy. So even those, the servants in his kingdom, the princes and the prince in his kingdom, they are supposed to be holy. Because if they are not holy, they might make the king not be holy. If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9, can also give us some clarifications there. As 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9. Mine says, who has saved us and called us out of a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time. And now, when we read this verse is, we want to read it very careful. Because there is a not according to our own works. We've called this not according to our own works. Someone will say, okay, it's not all about me doing something, I just need to accept and be there. No, you are not. This was put in the beginning, not because you've done something. And now that you've been called unto this, you need to do something. Because why? Because James said, faith without action is dead. It's a dead faith. And so we just want to understand that part of it, not according to our works. It says, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose is to see that we all inherit his kingdom. We all become part of his kingdom. And this is going to happen because of his grace, which was given to us through Jesus Christ before the time began. So the grace that here is talking about, it was the works that he's talking about in the before the time began. Before the time began, the grace was already there. And the holy calling was already there because Adam was called to live a holy life, which on the way it got spoiled in one way around, which I may not go into because of time. It got spoiled. But God's intention of putting Adam there was for Adam to live a holy life. You know why? Be holy because I am holy. And the Bible says, I have created you in my own image. So God looks at the church as his own image. So if he sees that the church does that contrary to his word, there's a problem there. There's a problem. There's no way he can accept us into his kingdom. So there is a lot to do. It is a lot to do. There's something to do. We need to work it out to see that we are matching up with the kingdom of God or with the kingdom life. And then I quoted something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7. It says, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." He didn't call us to live in an uncleanness life. He called us to be in holiness, to move in holiness, to live a life that is of holy life, a life that is worthy of calling, of the calling, because he has separated us. He doesn't want us to engage ourselves from the things that will destroy the standard of his kingdom. And then another point which I made there was, the church is called to make disciples. That is, the everyone can tell this. We look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. Here you see, if we read there, there's something, I'm not changing the scriptures, but Matthew 28. Because we are mistaking this verse very, our focus out of this verse so much. It says in 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age." One thing I quoted there is that he is giving us a command to go and make disciples all over the world. He didn't say go outside there and make buildings and then point those who want to be the churches. He is telling us to go and make disciples. We make disciples, and then he said, "Teach them how to observe, teach them to observe all these things that I have commanded you." So there is a lot of time that here it is, there's a lot of time that we supposed to surrender in order to disciple, teaching the body of believers who are gathered in fellowship, than the time we spend raising foundations. The reason why I'm mentioning this is that many people are focusing so much on building structures than building the body of Christ. And they are spending a lot of resources building structures, cathedral, because we want to be seen in this city, because we want to be the one, because they are seeking for popularity, than building the individual people, which makes a church to be. And people are mistaken in this. People don't want to look at this. Go out. How will I gain from going out? I need to be here, gather these people. That's the problem we have here in Kampala, in Uganda. I don't know in other place, but maybe even the state, I guess it's there, that people would want to gather all these people for their own gain, for their own popularity. Not with the goal of building, teach these disciples, sharing the same love they have, investing their lives in them so that they can make a true church, a church that will shine the kingdom of God. And I quoted something in Acts chapter 8. These are now brothers starting the fellowship, now the disciples. You know, that time was so terrible for them. Acts chapter 8, verses 12. It says, the reason why I say this was a difficult time, because now the disciples are starting it out. The disciples are starting it out. And now, I guess these people, even Jesus himself would, if he would come up with a building, I'm telling you, up to date, that building will be renovated daily and daily and daily. But unfortunately, he didn't build a building, but he built a body of believers. And then his disciples, I'm very happy, they continue in the same spirit, building believers. Let me read Acts 18:12. You say, but when they believed Philip has, I beg your pardon, but when they believed Philip has he preached the things according the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And here, what I see that what is mentioned here, that the goal was not to look for which construction will be, which area we're going to be and how we're going to become famous. The thing was to preach the message of the kingdom, to preach the things concerning the kingdom of God. Not money, not for popularity, not for anything. Concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And that's how the church has to live its life. Is that the first priority has to be the message of the kingdom. How am I going to be able to preach the message of the kingdom so that the world will know that there is a king and Jesus is the king and he has his own kingdom? That has to come through the church. The kingdom of God is, Jesus said, it's at hand. It's manifested out of the church. People look at the church. People supposed to look at the church and say, the kingdom of God is here. It's not there or when. We are not waiting. It's there. You know what? Because that church is acting it out. That church is living a holy life. That church is living a life that is worthy of the calling. That church is living a priestly life. Another point that I made was the church has been called to suffer for the sake of the king. Sorry, before I could say Jesus and what, but now I want to mention the king. The church has been called to take part of the suffering. But none of us wants this. None of us will call this. In fact, if I go out and preach this, everyone will say, no, as long as we are saved, everything is done. There is no suffering. Jesus suffered for us. And that what and what. No, we are supposed to carry our cross as a church. It's not done yet. The journey is still going. The journey is still continuing. Till we go and be rewarded. Till we go and meet him. The journey is still going. And so, Christian, we've been called to share the same suffering for the sake of his name. That's only we can carry our cross. Philippians chapter 1, verses 29. Philippians chapter 1 verses 29 say, For to you it has been granted on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. That verse, I don't think before, if I didn't understand what it really means, I would accept that verse. Because before I thought, once you believe, everything is done. You just sit and wait until he comes. But he says, no, you have to take part of the suffering for the sake of his return, for the sake of his kingdom. You need to take part of it. And I thank God that he even allowed our Lord Jesus Christ to come here. And he demonstrated the true life of the kingdom. And here the verse says, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. When he came here, he suffered. He was done what? And he was done. And that one could call it all persecution. He was persecuted. That means he suffered for us. He suffered for the sake of the glory of his Father. We're supposed to suffer for the sake of the glory of his kingdom. We're supposed to take part of that. But the church could not. The church cannot allow that outside. It cannot. It is very hard. Even me before, I could not read this kind of a verse. For what? I've believed. Life is okay. Jesus died for me. He suffered for me. But now I know. Now I understand that I need to take part of this. I need to accept it. So that the life of the kingdom will be able to be revealed to the many. Another point that I made is the church has been called to prayer and thanks to God. Colossians chapter 2. Church always, I would recommend a church always to be in the spirit of prayer and always in thanksgiving. Whether things are good or things are bad, usually everyone would want to say thank God because of the car, because of this. None of us has ever thanked God because we've spent 2 days without eating but we're not dead. No one wants to mention that. But people would love to mention thank God because I have this, I have a house, I have this. But in all times, whether we are suffering, church needs to praise God for the life given, whether you've eaten or not, whether you've been having it or not. That's the church. Prayer and thanksgiving. Always, whether things are going well, we just need to pray, give him the thanks. You know why? Because he has given us the breath to this end. He says, continue honestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. As you pray, we are watching. You are watching, we are getting ready, we are on. When I read the other version, say, the other verse, this version, kind of the word vigilant is disturbing my mind. Anyone with it? Anyone with a meaning?
To be vigilant?
Vigilant?
Vigilant is...
watching.
Very keen. Keen in your watching.
Praise the Lord. So here is telling us, as you pray, watch out. Because even the enemy is not happy with whatever you're doing. Watch out and be careful. I can say be careful. And always give thanks to God. The church is called to this position. As I'm finishing up, someone will complain and say this before there were temples and what. When we look at Jesus' life, he didn't point us which mountain, which place we have to go to for fellowship or this church. After you've got several, okay, go to the other church. No, he stayed with his people and discipled them and he mentored them and he moved with them. He prayed with them everywhere. I can say anywhere church can be. And whether it's your home, as I said in the beginning, with that the veranda, whether anywhere that you are able, whether under the tree, the church can be there. The church can be there. Someone will say, why anywhere? You know, when we read some of the examples we see from our brothers there, they stay, they had fellowships in church, and I see Paul sends greetings to Aquila, and then said, and the church that is in their house. The house was not considered to be the church, but in their house, the church that is in their house. So what was the main thing was the people within in the church, not the building itself. If we read Romans 16, we'll at least talk about that. Romans 16, 4 and 5 say, this is Paul sending greetings, say, he said, Romans 16, chapter 4, verses 5, say, who is their own neck for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. The church that is in their house. So God has called us not only to build these buildings, but the people within the God is looking at the people. That's what he knows. It is the church. Here, God is not looking at this structure. He's looking at individual people. We who are here, we are the church. We are the church. And he's mindful of us, you and me, who are here. And that's why I say I recommend anywhere. So long as people are gathered in the fellowship, that's a church. Not the other church, the other corner, not the other cathedral, not the other one, but the people within. And few people understood this. I was there. I don't blame anyone unless someone, God reveals to him the truth. But thank God he has given us this opportunity of letting people to know what is the church. And how does God look? What does God call the church to do? And what is the church's law in this world? Simply, the church has to shine the kingdom life. The church has come here. God has called the church to manifest his kingdom into the world. And we've called to live a life of the kingdom. Many people, when I read the marvelous kingdom, you know, that guy say, you know, I'm part of that. Many people say, you know, when I reach in heaven, I need to be holy, I need to be this, I need to be this. And then the guy's like, if you want to be loving, start it right now here. Here. Don't wait. What if you don't reach there? Who knows? Don't wait. If you want to be a peaceful maker, start it right now, here. Because the kingdom of God has to be revealed right now, here in this world. And the church is in position to do, is supposed to be in position to do that. I like that point. You want to be a loving person in the kingdom? Start it right now, before even you disappear on the face of this earth. You want to be a gentle person? Start your gentleness here on earth. If you want to be a joyful person in heaven, right now, because the kingdom of God has to be revealed here by the church. God bless you, and let's pray.